So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast.
And welcome everybody, it's Dan, hope you're well today. So welcome, Property Cash Flow Show. We're going to talk to you today about the different types of property investor that you either are or that you could be if you haven't yet started your journey. Now, obviously, we've been in our journey for quite some time. We've been doing this for 23 years. We've been investing in property. I was like 26, I think I was, when I first bought my first property. Does that stack up? Yeah, it does. I'm 49 now, so it's 23 years. Everybody told me not to do it. Don't buy it, they said. Oh, it'll go wrong, they said. Oh, you'll get tenants making all sorts of damages to it, they said. And very right to some extent, tenants did damage it. We've had all sorts of different things. We've had cannabis farms, for example. We've had tenants not paying. We've got a tenant not paying right now. We just paid £1,000 to have them evicted. Unfortunately, we've given them every opportunity to make payment, but they haven't made payment. And yeah, it's just one of those things. It's just part of business. It's just one of those things. And we shouldn't allow that to put us off actually being a property investor, because that's how we make our money. And there's nothing wrong with making money from property. It's a good place to be, providing homes, good quality homes for people that look after them and pay the rent on time is a great thing to do, I think. So what are the four different types that I'm going to run through today? So I'll give you the quick rundown and then we'll go through them one by one. So we've got cash flow investing, we've got people who flip properties, we've got BMV, which is below market value, and then we've got people who actually add value to them. Now, I am number one there. I am a property cash flow investor. I predominantly invest for cash flow. And what I mean by that is this is monthly cash flow. And so going back all that time, 23 years ago, maybe we should have a big party when we've been investing in property for 30 years. We've got 7 years to save up for that. So as a cash flow investor, if we were going to save up for that, we'd save up, I don't know, £25 a month, given 7 years. That's probably quite a nice, handsome budget to have a nice party in the Bahamas or whatever. But that right there is a good example of why we are monthly cash flow investors, because we live on a monthly basis. Where's my mobile phone? This thing right here, my mobile phone, I pay monthly for this contract. I'm trying to look at other things on my desk that I pay monthly for. There's nothing. But if you have a car payment, guess what? You pay monthly. If you have a mortgage, the place that we're living in, we pay monthly. We actually rent this place, a villa in Spain, because we're still not sure whether we want to buy or where we want to buy. We're going to buy this, and then it all got flooded, and then we're like, we don't want to cope with that. But that's the beauty of being a rental person and being a tenant, is that you can pick up and move, and you know, you're not tied down to one place. But as a cash flow, monthly cash flow investor, all the income that we get from property is designed to pay all our bills, which are generally monthly bills. Now, if they're not monthly bills, for example, we have an insurance policy, a buildings insurance policy that comes out once a year, and this is for thousands of pounds in one go. So let's just pick some random numbers, numbers that I can actually calculate in my head. if our insurance policy was £2,400, it actually makes really good sense for me to allocate £200 a month, every single month, into a spare account. So the money goes into that account. And then once a year, when our insurance policy comes through and is due for £2,400, we've got the money, it's sat there in the account, we can just make that payment. And so we're not having to find £2,500 once out of a year, because that can impact our monthly cash flow. And so this is one of the reasons why we have 12 months of cash flow forecasting, so that we can see when is it due. And if it's due, let's say in July next year, which is what, it's about 8 months away, 7 or 8 months away, we can actually take that £2,400 and save £200 a month. And we know that that money is then going to come out on the 1st of July, and it's all allocated and it's all paid for. And in fact, we can even do a few clever things with that. We can pay using our credit card, which if we can, we will. And then we can immediately upon making that payment, like a few days later, once it's hit the credit card statement, we'll actually pay that credit card off. And that continually increases our reputation for paying down debt and with our credit card companies and our Equifax file and so on. So that's a really good example of why we're cash flow investors. If we're saving up for a holiday, or let me rephrase that, if we want to go on holiday and the holiday is £3,600, I can allocate £300 a month and then that goes on holiday. Much better than getting to July and then putting £3,500 on a credit card that you're then paying off, paying 24% interest or whatever that interest rate is if you're not paying it off in time. So if we were booking a holiday 12 months from now and it's £3,500, we'd save up £3,500, we'd buy the holiday using a credit card and then pay off that credit card. So all our bills are cash flow forecasted. So although we're a cash flow investor, we're investing for monthly income, I also need to know what my expenses are on a monthly basis as well. And I don't like unexpected expenses. And I get quite upset, by the way, when I get an unexpected expense. I had one yesterday or the day before from EDF, for the electricity company, for £32. You'll like this one, by the way. You'll like this story. So they're phoning me up and it was Lowell's, you know, the solicitors. I'm like, oh, you've got this outstanding bill. I'm like, what bill? It says, oh, it's from July. I'm like, the property's full. No, July 2016. What, you chased this bill 5 years ago? Yeah. How much is it? £32. And I'm like, I don't pay anything unless I got a copy of a receipt, but it's £32. And you know what, with Lowell's, for not very nice people. And if you work for Lowell's, you should be ashamed of yourself. Go get yourself a proper job. So one that doesn't give misery to thousands of people up and down the UK. Anyway, so I say, look, just fuck it, basically. I'll just pay the damn thing. £32, just pay it and it's done. Send me a copy of the receipt. I'll take your word for it that it's not being paid. EDF are useless anyway. Probably have paid it. Anyway, £32, right? And then the guy's like, okay, so you're going to pay in full? Yeah, okay. And what's the source of those funds? And I'm like, I'm sorry? Yeah, what's the source of those funds? Are you in full-time work? Are you self-employed? Are you unemployed? I'm like, what's that got to do with you? What my income comes from? Well, I just need to answer the question. Are you self-employed? Are you employed? So I said, no, I pimp out hookers and escorts. That's what I do. That's how I make my money. Now, I thought that was very funny. The guy on the other end of the phone didn't think that was overly funny. And I was like, what? Is that not a proper job? Am I not allowed to do that? Well, it's perfectly reasonable. Why can't I do that? Anyway, needless to say, he was a little bit upset. But he took the payment anyway, and then he fucked off, quite frankly. But I don't like unexpected bills. And so I like to allocate on my spreadsheet budgets for absolutely everything. From I don't know, clothing down to holidays, birthday presents, petrol, rent, what else? Holidays. Let's have a look, shall we? I'm not going to show you guys, but let's just have a look. All my service charges are on there. Ground rents, which come around once a year in January, February time, and they can be in. You know, they can be a lot, by the way. We're talking multiple thousands of pounds for those. And so something like that, again, we save, you know, X number of pounds every single month so that when we get to January, which is next month, we've got the funds available there and then we can pay it and it's no hassle. I didn't used to operate like that. I used to do it where, oh no, I need to find all these thousands of pounds every January. Oh no, especially after Christmas, right? What a depressing start to a year. You know, obviously things like mortgages are on there. We've got savings in there, FTSE 100 deposits are in there. We've got cryptocurrency in there for those expenses. Council tax, obviously. Cleaner, pool cleaner, school fees. All this, for me, by the way, goes on one spreadsheet. I'm not going to go into spreadsheets today because it's quite a complicated beast, is mine. But needless to say, it's all on there. We've got things like Yorkshire Water. The UK cleaner is allocated a budget. So we might not use that budget every single month, but it's allocated every single month. So if it's not used, it's left over and we can allocate that to something else. Debt repayment, for example. So let's just make these numbers up. If we've got £500 a month for our cleaner every single month, the cleaner does move-ins and move-outs in certain administration type roles, as well as cleaning HMOs and so on. But if we only spend £350, that £150, it can either go buy some crypto or it can actually pay down some debt. like some mortgage debt. And that's a good thing for you to do, is to continually be paying down debt somewhere, somehow, over a period of time. So over 20 or 30 years more, you're really paying down quite a lot of your mortgages. So we've got everything is on that spreadsheet right there. And that's a great way for us to do that, because we're monthly investors. So what else have we got that we want to go through? Let me just check here. Yeah, okay. So that's why we're cash flow investors. We buy for cash flow every single month. Now, it might be you could do this using dividends, for example. Buy £100,000 worth of dividends, put it through a FTSE 100, and you are now going to generate dividends from that, maybe 6 to 8% every single month, every single year, which is distributed quarterly. But we like monthly cash flow. That's one of the reasons why we're in property, because we live as monthly beings. And I think that we should get paid monthly, but multiple times every single month. That's why we're property investors. Okay, so the next type of deal that you can do if you're a property investor is you can do flips. So a property flip is where you buy a property one day and you sell it the next day, or you buy it as is and you might do a little bit of work to it. Nothing too major, by the way, because we're going to cover that a little bit further down. But this is maybe where you buy a house. There might be some level of distress going on, so they might need some level of quick sale, but we're going to talk about that one next as well with the below market value stuff. But this is maybe where you're just buying a property. You might even buy it from an estate agent. But you might be one of those investors they keep in a top drawer. Dan, I've got this property. A guy needs to move quick. Do you want it? It's on at 100. I know he'll accept 90. It needs to move. It's getting repossessed. Do you want to take it? And I'll go, yeah, we'll take that. And we go in, and it's got the old swirly carpet, and it's got the old avocado suite. And we're like, okay, we'll just go in, new kitchen, new bathroom, paint the walls, new curtains, new carpets, put some furniture in there to make it look nice. We might hire it or we might keep it, and then move that furniture into one of our HMOs, for example. So we're refreshing those, that level of furniture all the time. And then that's it. We've got this property. We're going to put it back on the market. We'll probably put it back on with the same estate agent. And the reason why we do that is that that estate agent will also then give us the next deal and the next deal and the next deal, because for now we're getting paid twice, not just once. Most people who buy a property, they buy one property every 10 years, right? When we do it, when we're buying a property and selling a property, they're getting two bites at that commission cherry, so to speak. So we would put that property back through that estate agent normally. And so we flip these. And we used to do an awful lot of flipping. When we first started out in the first 5 to 10 years, we did loads of buying. We'd do a little bit of value to it, and then we'd put it back on the market and we'd sell it very, very quickly. And our preferred purchaser would be someone who might be a cash buyer, who's already got a mortgage in place and are literally good to go. And we want to see proof of funds, proof of deposit. We're not messing about. We don't do chains, that kind of thing. And so people who are in a chain, they get left out. But we would buy, we'd do it up very quickly, and we'd literally knock it straight back out. And sometimes it depends on the property, depends on how much value we'd actually add to that. But we've just seen opportunity somewhere. Now, sometimes the opportunity isn't in a below market value. It could be just that we know that on that street, when a property goes on the market, it sells really quick. Which would all obviously lead the question, why did the original sellers not do that? And who on earth knows why a seller makes that decision? I have no idea. Having been doing this for 23 years, who knows how the human mind works and why the humans do certain things in a certain way? Who knows? But we've made some decent money flipping properties. In fact, when we first started out flipping properties, you know, we'd do the 3-2-1 where we'd buy three, we'd sell two, but we'd keep one. Buy three, sell two, keep one. Buy three, sell two, keep one. And we keep on doing that. And that was one of the great ways that we were able to move very quickly at the growth of our property empire, if you like. Now, actually, one of the reasons why we stopped doing that is that I got into a relationship with someone who was so negative, and I didn't realise that at the time. But it was like seeping out all my positivity, and it was just drawing it out. And obviously, when I look back now, I can recognize that for what it was. But it kind of slowed me down somewhat. And maybe that was a good thing, because then the market crashed like 4 years after that. But also, I kind of feel that we should have kept on going. We'd have had double, triple, quadruple the size of the portfolio that we've got right now. You know, we're happy with the size of the portfolio, but it's fairly easy for other people with negative views and negative experiences to come in and change it. And if there's one little bit of advice in that story, that is to protect your mindset at all costs. Okay, so let's talk about below market value. One of the ways that people buy property these days is through the below market value method. And so this is where you're going out and finding properties that are maybe distressed with their owners in some way. They might be going through a divorce. They might be having lots of debt problems. It might have been left to them in a death in the family. It might be grandma's house, for example, who's passed on. And now they've got this house and it needs doing up and they don't know what to do with it. And so they just want to get rid of it in some way. Or it could be that someone's literally emigrated overseas. Like we did, we moved overseas, but we happened to keep all our properties instead of selling them, and now we rent them out. But below market value, there are particular tips and particular methods that you should be using in order to rent out your properties below market value. And so this is easily done as long as you're committed to the process, and committing to the process is not an easy process at all. So finding a deal below market value, there are out there, even in this market right now, which is really, you know, going out there, there are people in this market that need to sell very quickly, maybe because they've got bailiffs coming tomorrow. Maybe they've got a court hearing in 2 days' time and they're about to get repossessed. You can actually stop a repossession, by the way. And so you can actually help those people that are going through this situation of repossession, which is an awful thing because it can lead to bankruptcy and marital breakdown and never seeing the kids again and all that awful, you know, negative stuff. But if you can turn up to court and go, actually, Your Honour, ma'am or sir will suffice. We can actually buy this property. It's just going through now. So if we can have a couple of weeks just to hold off so we can get this deal through because we're buying it, then you can buy that property below market value. So it doesn't matter what the circumstances or what the market cycle is doing. You can always buy below market value properties. Now, if you don't know how to do it, obviously, down below, there's a link to our £27 property sourcing training course. Go and take a look at that. It's amazing. We get so many great reviews on that. I recorded about 18 months ago, so it's all very relevant still. And some of the response that we have from people who've been on weekend courses is there's more in that £27 course than, you know, ever could have been on one of those weekend courses. So go take a look at that. But below market value properties depends on where you are in a cycle. Right now, it's much harder to buy, but not impossible to buy. At some point, the cycle will change again and it's going to be ripe for buying those below market value properties. Properties where it's gone up and then it's dropped. So in, I do Forex trading. And in those markets, for example, I know that when something goes up, there's always a pullback, a retracement, it's called. And in that time, if someone needs to sell and they've refinanced and then can't sell, which might not be a below market value, by the way, it might be a rent-to-rent or a lease option, but depending on what's been going on will determine the type of property deal that you can get. And things like leaflets work very well, banners on the side of buses, banners on the side of houses, billboards, newspaper advertisements and that kind of thing. But all of that has gone through in that property sourcing training. So you can go and take a look at that. But below market value, I've never bought, except one, a house at full asking price. I've always bought below market value. And one of the arguments that I see people put on Twitter about rentiers and landlords being parasites and all of that kind of thing is that we push prices up because we can offer more money than a first time buyer. And I'm like, dude, you don't know what you're talking about. Only once have I ever bought a property at market value or above. I always buy wholesale. And there's a difference between paying retail and paying wholesale. If you go to Asda today and they've got a product on the aisle end that was £10 and now was £20 and is now £10, are you paying retail? No, you're actually paying a discount off retail. So you can still go to an estate agent and get a property that's not at retail, that's at wholesale prices. You can still do that even in today's market because the estate agent might understand the seller's circumstances better than you and know that they need to sell quick and they can't tell you that. So you can still buy wholesale property, wholesale prices at, from retailers, effectively being estate agents. But BMV, below market value, is a great way to make your money extend that little bit further. And then in 12 months, you can refinance it, you can pull some of that money back out, and then you can recycle some of that money for use on purchasing your next deal and your next deal and your next deal. Okay, so the final type that people make money as a property investor is to add value. And I don't mean just, you know, new kitchen, new bathroom. It might be some of that, might be, you know, could be some of that, but we've covered that when we talked about the flips. Really, this is about adding a lot of value. So this might be an extension. This might be splitting the, and I do this because this means, by the way, it's a house and you're splitting it into four different flats. That's what that means, different quarters. Three bed semi-detached, for example, we've bought those and then we've converted those into one bed flats effectively. And that works really well. And so you can add a lot more value. You can even buy two houses next door to each other and knock them through and make one huge HMO. You can add big extensions onto the side and onto the back and build up and even build down into the basement and add more rooms and more bathrooms and make that into a great HMO subject to Article 4 and planning permission and all of that kind of thing. Now, we've really stayed away from doing any of this in any great volume. It's just not our thing. I'm not a builder. I'm a property investor. And as I say, going out and buying cash flowing properties, this is one of the problems with being an adding value type of person. You're an add valuer today, and in 20 years' time, you're still buying property and adding value because that is how you make your money. You've still got yourself a job, except now it's in property and you're buying, doing up and selling. You've not built up a cash flow investment over a long period of time so that when you get to retire at 65 or 55 or whatever, I'm 49 now, and you know, the work that I do it because it's fun, because I get excited by it, because I like helping people succeed and making more money to, so that they can reach their goals. But if I decided to cut it all tomorrow, we could just live off the money from the property investments. But if I'm a person who buys, does up and sell, and I've not got property cash flow coming in, I have to keep working till I die. And so that's why I'm a cash flow investor. Adding value is great. As long as you add value, you take out more and you put a bit to one side and then you go do your next and then you add value, you make more money and you put that bit to one side. And this bit that you put into one side, that should be going into cash flowing investments of some kind. It doesn't have to be property and so on. Anyway, that will cover us for today. I hope you guys found that useful. We'll be live later again this week. Have yourselves a wicked week and we'll speak to you soon. Take care. Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.